Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom and hello, and welcome to Heavenly Grace Ministry Presents Issues with Mental Illness and Addiction. And I'm your host, Dr. Pastor Ken. Okay, we got a great show lined up. Okay, I got a great sermon for you. Okay, it's on step number 6. Okay, and it deals with God remove our defects from us. Okay, it's on 12 Step to Recovery, Part 6. Okay, taking it from scriptures, Isaiah chapter 55, 1 through 9, Jonah chapter 4, 5 through 8, and John chapter 5, 2 through 7. Amen. All right. Well, let's start. Let's open up with an opening prayer. Let's see. Here we go. Lord God, we long to come into your light, to live in your strength, that we may do what pleases you and furthers your kingdom on earth. Lord, protect us from evil and do not let us be wounded by the flaming arrows of the evil one, Lord. Make paths for us whenever we do not know how to go forward, Lord. We always know you are our Father, Lord. Because you are our Father, we want to be courageous and persevere to the end so that you can make our lives bear fruit for you, Lord, to the glory of your name. And we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. Well, let's get started with some good music. What do you say, huh? All right. Let's see. Let's go with. Okay, let's go with Francisca's Bellastelli called Royalty. Here we go.
From rejected to accepted, from forgotten to remember, from the victim to the victor. Who we are is not the same, and it changes night and day. No longer orphan, now sons and daughters, worthy and wanted. We are accepted it. We are kings in a kingdom with gold.
All right, we're gonna play another song here. My gateway worship is called Stand in Your Love. Here we go.
When darkness tries to roll over my bones, when sorrow tries to steal the joy I own, when brokenness and pain is all I know, oh, I won't be shaken, I won't be shaken, 'cause my fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. This power that can break off every chain. This power that can be out of grace.
Come on, let's declare this over our lives.
Oh, I am standing on a rock. Yeah, I am standing in your love. Yeah, I am standing on the rock. My firm foundation, my firm foundation. We sing it, for I am standing on the rock. Yeah, I am standing in your love. Oh, I am standing on the rock, my firm foundation.
Song here by Jesus Culture and Derek Johnson. It's called Beautiful Day. Here we go.
Thank you.
Next song I'm going to play is by Elevation Worship featuring Tarn Wells. It's called Echo. Here we go.
When life has fallen, constant in power, still you're calling me. When faith is lost, my hope is lost. You will be my strength. When my mind says I'm not good enough, God, you're enough for me. I've decided I'm not giving up, 'cause you won't give up on me. You won't give up on me. Oh,
going to play another great song here. It's by Building 429 called The Same God. Here we go.
When I was five, I walked the aisle singing just as I am, while my granddaddy held my hand. He said you were a big guy, so I laid my life down. I grew up in that old church, listening to the sound. Voices of worship ringing out. You said you were a big guy, but I wondered how you fit in that small town. I was 17, I just had to leave. I needed to find you there. You shouldn't say I knew you in a language I've never known. But you can only do feel in the storm and know you'll be free. Hallelujah. Over the years I am grown after all that.
Collective is called Marching On. Here we go.
I'll be out of the door.
Yes, we're marching on. Glory to the Lord. Amen. Well, let's get into the sermon. All right. Let's bow down our heads for opening prayer. Dear Father in heaven, open our hearts to see what is good in our lives. Lord, may the light in our hearts shine clearly so that we see, recognize, and live in accordance with what comes from eternity and belongs to our true nature brought to us through Christ, Lord. Keep us from being blinded and deafened by experiences that will pass by, Lord. Help us to rise above them, even in suffering, and to wait patiently for what is becoming new and perfect, Lord. Praise to your name that we too can say the old has passed away, see everything has become new, Lord. And we pray this in the mighty, precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, introduction. To date in this series, we have discussed the first five steps in the 12-step process. We begin by admitting that we were powerless over the dependencies and that there was a God greater than ourselves who could restore us to sanity. After reaching that point in step three, we made the decision to turn our lives over to the care of God, a conscious choice that was made freely. In step four, we took a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. And in step five, our last step, we understood our addictions and began to confess them to ourselves, God, and others, trusted individuals. So as we continue working our way through these 12 steps, I want to remind you once more that this is an individual process that each person must go through on their own. As we begin step six, we begin to come to the point where we are ready to have God remove all the defects from our character. This is a voluntary decision to submit to every change God wants to make in our lives as we humbly ask him to remove our character defects. So what is a character defect and what is the relationship to our addiction? Character defects. Your character is basically how people define you and your actions. It is behavior that is typical of a person or a group of people as your reputation and moral strength. So based on this understanding, we get the term that someone is acting out of character, which means they're acting differently from what is known or expected of them. Every one of us is known in some way by our character and based on our character, our addictions are either being fed by or coexisting with it. When you consider the term defect, it carries a meaning that something is not totally what it should be. A defect is imperfection, a lack of something necessary for completeness. This involves perfection. If you go to some outlet stores, they may sell merchandise that has some small defect in them so they cannot be sold as perfect or at full retail price. Some of the small defects may not affect how the object does its job, but it does affect the appearance of the object and therefore its perceived value. If someone is paying the full asking price, they want the item to be in perfect condition. Next, there are defects that make an item unsellable or unusable. These defects are so severe that the item will not work the way it's intended and therefore not good for anything. These are defects that are more aligned with our addiction. Our defects are crippling us, and although it is a slow process, we are still being crippled. Our character defects negatively influence our ability to walk fully upright before God. Some examples of character defects include self-pity, self-justification, insensitivity, vulgar and immoral thinking, dishonesty, hate, envy, jealousy, lying, and selfishness. There are more, but these are given just to give you an idea of how widespread our defects are. Regardless of the number of character defects you have, if you are ready for God to remove them from your life, He is ready to do it, ready to give you a pardon to restore you. So secondly, let's look at God's pardon. Have you ever taken the time to think about it, what it means to receive a pardon? I know your minds may immediately go to our prison system and some of the pardon you may read about, but I want you to think about your pardon. That's right. Everyone who has accepted Christ has received a pardon. God has pardoned us. To pardon someone means to release them from the further punishment, forgive, for excuse from a fault. Each of us has received such a pardon, and this pardon is what puts us in the mindset to allow God to remove our defects. If we know up front that any defect that we bring before God has already been forgiven, we have nothing to lose and everything to gain from laying everything at His feet. We've been told to repent and then stop thinking and acting the way we do, but it's not easy. I believe most of us would gladly walk away from our defects if we could. People do not seem to understand that with some things we cannot just walk away. God understands this, and this has made a way for us. Consider what God says in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 1 through 3 and 7 through 9. Ho! Everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good and delight yourself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen that you may live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you. According to the faithful mercies shown to David, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, and He will have compassion on him and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways. My ways, declares the Lord, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. You see, God truly understands what we are dealing with. And in these verses above, He puts it into a larger context of dealing with the hunger within our soul. In verse 2, God asks the question, why do you spend money for what is not bread and your wages for what does not satisfy? Consider this question in context of having a hunger or craving. If you're craving seafood and that's all available as soup, you will eat the soup because you are hungry, but it does not stop the craving. You may find the soup unsatisfying, Or consider this example. You are hungry. Instead of buying food, you buy cigarettes. In both cases, the body receives something. But in the first case, although you may have satisfied the mental and emotional craving with the cigarettes, you did not solve the physical need with food. God is asking us to come to him, for only he can make a difference in our lives. As we think about what we are facing with our addictions, we come to understand that we are fighting them on two fronts. First, we are dealing with the hunger deep inside us. Whatever your hunger is that is driving your addiction is nestled deep within you. For some, it's so deep that it may take you a while to truly pinpoint it. That hunger, whether it is for appreciation, love, attention, or all the other things that drive us, is something that, is, until fulfilled or removed, will continue to drive us. Only God can fulfill or remove it, so it's no longer driving you or hindering your progress. The second front of the battle rests with changing our thoughts or doing wrong. Recently, we have heard or read about the wrongs of prominent ministers. These wrongs cover a wide range of things, from their divorces to their lavish spending of ministry funds on their personal lives. The reason why I mention this is that none of them have come forward and said that what they did or were doing was wrong. However, several of them use scriptures to justify what they are doing. When Paula White was asked about her divorce from her husband, she quoted Ecclesiastes, implying that there is a time for everything under heaven, and her divorce was one of those times, her spiritual journey. She has also stated that since she and her husband were such good friends, that they may get back together. Never once did she encourage anyone to fight to stay in the marriage. God is willing to pardon our sins, but he cannot pardon us when we do not accept that our wrongs are actually sin and see no need to repent from them. It is proven that when we are upset, we often depend on our addictions to make us feel better. As we begin to get rid of these addictions, we come face to face with a deeper character defects that God wants to heal. See, our addictions function as a sort of a shelter for us. We can go there and hide and receive comfort when we are stressed, pained, or upset. But when the shelter is removed, deep anger may surface, exposing even deeper character flaws that need healing. Think about the story of Jonah. Jonah, as you may recall, was told to go to Nineveh to preach to the people. But Jonah had a character flaw. He could not forgive and have compassion on the people of Nineveh, whom he hated. So when God decided not to destroy the people of Nineveh, Jonah threw a temper tantrum and complained to God. Then he left the city and went and sat on a hill to see if God listened to his complaint and would change his mind about destroying the people. Jonah chapter 4, verses 5 to 8 says, "Then Jonah went out from the city and sat east of it. There he made a shelter for himself and sat under in the shade until he could see what would happen to the city. So the Lord God appointed a plant, and it grew up over Jonah to be a shade over his head to deliver him from his discomfort. And Jonah was extremely happy about the plant. But God appointed a worm when dawn came the next day, and it attacked the plant and withered. And it came about when the sun came up that God appointed a scorching east wind, and the sun beat down on Jonah's head, so they became faint and begged with all his soul to die, saying, 'Death is better to me than life.' God did this show Jonah the real problem wasn't the loss of his shelter, but his own hatred for the people of Nineveh. He cared more for the shelter than the people. The removal of our sheltering addictions may expose deeper problems, which may spark defensive anger. But God will be there and to touch and heal our deepest hurts." So let's look at thirdly, discovering hope. It is okay to hope. We need hope. If we have lost all of our hope, it is hard to believe that God will do anything for us. So it is with our addictions. Some of our addictions we have held on to for a long time, and we may feel hopeless about being delivered from them. How can we honestly say that we are entirely ready for God to remove our defects if we have lost hope or we are thinking all or nothing? Excuse me, I gotta get a drink of water. See, God, make me perfect with no flaws, or I just remain where I am. When it's all or nothing, we fail to see the progress that we are making. We fail to see how God is moving toward us. Even when we cannot take another step, we have lost our hope, for change. I'm reminded of a story that is found in the book of John. Turn with me to John chapter 5. Let's start at verse 2. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porticos and porches. And those lay a multitude of those who were sick, blind, lame, and withered, waiting for the moving of the waters. For the angel of the Lord went down at a certain season into the pool and stirred the water. Whoever then first, after stirring up the water, stepped in was made well from whatever disease with which he was afflicted. And a certain man was there who had been 38 years in his sickness. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew he had already been a long time in that condition, he said to him, "Do you wish to get well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me in the pool when the water is stirred, but while I'm coming, another step down before me." In verse 2 to 7, during Jesus' day, there was a pool that had five porches where people went and stayed, hoping to be healed. When the waters were troubled, only the first person who stepped in the pool would be healed after the water was troubled. This man had been at this pool for 38 years, waiting and hoping. For 38 years, whenever the waters were troubled, someone else would step down in front of him and be healed, leaving him with his condition. The man was so crippled that he could not get to the water, but needed someone to help him. It was apparent that he did not have any help, as this was what he was told. Jesus now noticed what happened when Jesus came up to the man. Jesus asked him, "Do you wish to get well?" It seems like a dumb question to be asking a man. He had been coming to this pool for 38 years, so of course he wanted to be healed. What was Jesus thinking when he asked such a stupid question? I will tell you, for the question were not stupid at all. Jesus was asking the man if he still had hope. He was asking the man if he's still willing. When we have been dealing with something for so long and it looks like it will not change, we begin to lose hope. So when we have lost hope, we lose the expectation that comes with hope. So when we have lost the expectation, then we begin to close God's hands of deliverance, because we no longer believe that it could happen. So Jesus understood after 38 years of trying, this man could have lost all hope. This man wanted to be healed and told Jesus he was willing, but did not have any help. If you read the rest of the story, you discover that Jesus healed the man. I share the story with you so that you can understand this point. It does not matter how many years you have been struggling with your addiction. God is here today, ready and willing to help you. He's not going to question you about how many times you have failed in the past. All he's going to do is ask you, okay, are you ready to be delivered? The man in the story had gone as far as he could go. And then God came to him in the form of Christ. Although you may have gone as far as you can go, understand that God is coming towards you. So all you need to do is accept him. God met this man where he was and brought him the rest of the way. So in conclusion, in step 6, we are ready to have God remove all of our defects. The key word here is remove. God does not want our defects improved. He wants them totally gone, removed. Most of us have made numerous attempts of self-improvement with little success. We have tried to improve our attitudes, our appearance, and even our habits. But there is a difference in improving something and removing it. When something is improved as an addiction, the negative impact is not as bad, but the addiction is still present. When something is removed, there is no negative impact because the addiction is no longer there. So when we think about the defects in our character, I'm sure many of us have been frustrated at our own attempts to improve them. Okay, in step 6, after dealing with years of trying to do it ourselves, after years of trying to improve the defects, we are ready to have God totally remove them. There is no band-aid cure for our sins and defects of character. They have been fatally wounded and must die on the cross. Although this process is not easy, it can and will be done. And guess what? If you are afraid of what your new life will be like, don't be, for you will be pleasantly surprised at what will take place as you move forward into that new life. Now that we are ready to have our defects removed, it's time to make the request to God. Until next time, God bless. Let us pray. Amen. Dear Father in heaven, open our hearts to see and feel how our lives have been blessed. Open our hearts to your blessings so that we may look forward in thankfulness and joy as ahead. Grant that we may be faithful to that we have received from you and never again lose ourselves in passing moments. May we hold to all of you have brought to our hearts in eternity, that your name be honored and our lives shaped anew in Jesus Christ. Give us courage to overcome the evils of life and to look with joy and confident expectation to the future, when the powers of your kingdom will be ever more clearly revealed. And we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, this brings me to the next question. How many of you out there do not know Jesus? Well, you can do so tonight. You can get to know him. Are you tired of living the way you are? Always walking around, scratching your head, wondering what's going on? Okay, will you get a break? Okay, or maybe you're suffering from a depression or anxiety. Or, of course, maybe you're suffering from one of these addictions of alcohol, drugs, sexual immorality, gambling, overeating. In order for God to take them away, guess what, man? You've got to ask him into your life. So I ask you, are you ready to ask Jesus into your life? If so, simply say this simple little prayer to me. Say, Lord Jesus, for too long I've kept you out of my life. I know that I'm a sinner and that I cannot save myself. No longer will I close the door when I hear you knocking. By faith, I gratefully receive your gift of salvation. I am so ready to trust you as my Lord and Savior. So thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming to earth. I believe you are the Son of God who died on the cross for my sins and rose from the dead on the third day. So I want to thank you for bearing my sins and giving me the gift of eternal life. I believe your words are true, so please come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and be my Savior tonight. And we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, if you said that prayer, we here at Heavenly Grace Ministry want to welcome you to the family of the Lord. Okay? And we want to say, may the Lord bless you, and may he always keep you highly favored. And next, in Romans 10, 9, and 10, it says that we must confess with our mouth, okay, that we accept the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's no better way, okay, than to do it on this platform. So I want you to call area code 646-716-7958 and press the 1 key. I repeat that. Call 646-716-7958 and press the 1 key. Because when you do that, you will come on the air live and you can tell me, okay, and everyone else is listening, that you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. And then right now, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, okay, and all the angels and everyone in heaven is rejoicing. So won't you let us rejoice with them as well? Amen. I'm going to put on a song, and while you think about calling in, I'm going to play a song by Gerald McFadden and the Disciples called Never Alone. Here we go.
Y'all remember this one? Oh, y'all, come on. Y'all remember this one? Turn to 3-2 and say, you're never alone. You're never alone. Never alone. Never alone. Jesus.
called Well Done by the Actors. Here we go.
Well, What would it be like when I hear that sound? All of heaven's angels crying out.
Song called River of Mercy by Grace City and Chase Wagner. Here we go.
Thank you.
Amen. Well, I'll play another great song here by Anthony Evans called Reckless Love. Here we go.
Yeah.
Tonight. It's a slow night. And it's Saturday night and everybody's out and about. Okay, so I'm gonna say God bless you for listening. Have a blessed weekend and hope to see you here tomorrow at 1 p.m. Central Standard Time for the Heavenly Grace Christian and Messianic Tabernacle Church service. Okay, we have a great worship service and a great sermon, okay, to listen to. Amen. So God bless. Have a good night. Bye-bye.